Hello and welcome to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Before we jump into the program, two things real quickly. One, I'm battling a head cold, so bear with me as we get through the day. The other thing, though, is to mention that the Miami-Dade County Commission is meeting right now as we speak, and they are discussing Mayor Carlos Jimenez's compliance with plans from President Donald Trump on the issues of immigration and dealing with sanctuary cities. Now, we'll keep you up to date on that story if anything does happen. And, of course, stay tuned throughout the day. WLRN News will bring you more from the Miami-Dade County Commission. They started at 10 this morning, and they are still going right now. But let's talk about housing for a moment. You know, Miami is one of the least affordable housing markets in the world, not the country. The world. And that's not my opinion. That's according to the Demographia International Housing Affordability Survey. In the top five, least affordable. The other U.S. city, by the way, above Miami is San Francisco. And we are behind Hong Kong, London, and Toronto. So if you're looking to buy a home in Miami-Dade, where do you go? Well, the Miami Herald has a new tool to help people find homes that might just be a little more affordable. Maybe it'll help you, but we want to hear from you. If you're shopping for a home, where are you looking? What sorts of deals are you finding? Are you finding any deals? Do you find yourself having to maybe move to a neighborhood further away from work so you have a longer commute? We want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. Maybe you're thinking, I'm done with South Florida. I don't want to live here. I can buy a big house on a couple of acres, maybe in Georgia or Tennessee or somewhere else. We want to hear your thoughts. But you know what? We have actually reached out to you for the last couple of days. We've been reaching out, asking your stories, your opinions on this. And you know what? We've heard from a lot of you. Katie Lepre joins me here in studio. Katie, we got a lot of responses.
Yes, we do. We definitely do. So Craig from Cutler Bay is a realtor. He texted us and he said it's almost impossible to find a decent single family home for less than $200,000 in Miami. Inventory is either non-existent or higher than most can qualify with current mortgage standards. Jen from Miami texted in, we're trying to find a home but kept being passed over for people buying with cash. Then they would flip the home and the houses go back on the market for more than we could pay. We also heard from Nikki from Miami. I'm currently saving for a home, but I'm very discouraged by the price of the housing, both for buying and renting. Also from Jason from Miami. Housing market in Miami is ridiculous. I can take the same $110,000, go to Georgia, Atlanta, and get a four-bedroom, two-bath house for $80,000 to $90,000 on a 1 to 2 acre lot. Also heard from Jared from Miami. He's looking for homes under $200,000 in the North Miami Beach area. And he said it's very, very few homes are available in his price range. And the ones that are end up being snatched up almost as soon as they hit the market. More than likely, we would have to move outside the Miami area and commute to our jobs here in North Miami Beach.
All right. Those are some of the comments. And again, they just keep rolling in. So please keep sharing them because we're going to read some of these on air. We're going to put the rest of them online. We want to hear your thoughts. Also, we did take out the phone number. A lot of people are calling in right now. I want to hear from you. If you are trying to buy a home in Miami-Dade, where are you finding anything that's in that $250,000, $350,000, maybe $450,000 range? That supposedly is the sweet spot. We'd like to hear your stories. Joining me now is Nick Nehemas. He is an investigative reporter for the Miami Herald. He's a former real estate reporter for the Herald. Nick, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Lewis. And I have to say, I'm shocked that people are even looking for homes under $200,000 because, I mean, that's just not realistic at all. And even in the under 350 range, the inventory is tight.
You know what? We talked about the Miami Herald has this tool now, and people can punch in, you know, their price range, what they're looking for, and you can look by zip code to kind of see what's out there. When you look through this tool, did anything surprise you as to what's out there?
Well, you know, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I was surprised just by how limited your options are. You know, if you're looking for a single family home on Miami-Dade's median income, there are just three zip codes where you could afford. But even if you double that and, you know, you plug in, say, what a college-educated couple with both parties working, they're looking at, you know, neighborhoods that are have bad schools, high crime, or are better in those aspects but are just so far away from the job centers that you're looking at an hour and a half commute one way.
All right, wait a minute. You said three. There are just three areas that are popping up where you're in that sweet zone of you know, maybe $250,000 to $400,000?
Well, that's if you are looking for a home under $200,000. And remember that according to housing experts, that's what's affordable for 50% of Miami-Dade to buy, because we're looking at the household median income. So basically, you know, 50% of Miami-Dade residents, or households, I should say, you know, are going to be renters for the long term. The surprising thing to me is that even if you double that income to what, you know, a college-educated couple would be making, they're still really struggling to find a home. And that's new for Miami.
I do want to mention, by the way, I just got a notice from my engineers that there is an issue right now with the phone lines. Be patient. We're going to fix that as quickly as possible because we want to hear from you. I want to hear your stories because if you're shopping for a home right now in Miami-Dade, where are you finding anything? And what's your price range? And, of course, I want to hear from you if you're thinking it's time to get out. The number again, 800-743-9576. If you're not getting through, just be patient. Keep trying back. We're trying to fix those phone lines. Nick, you know what? I had asked you before on this many times, and I'm just wondering, where are the people with all this money coming from that they're boosting, jacking up the prices so much? Is it just foreign investors, or who is it?
It's a lot of investment from Latin America and Europe, although that's slowed down as the dollar has gotten really strong. There are a lot of people from New York. You know, a lot of it is, you know, Miami is a global city now, and so companies can recruit people from New York, LA, Boston, really expensive housing markets, and those people command, you know, salaries comparable to what they were making back home. So when they come to Miami, they see it as a great deal compared to the other big global cities.
But then, okay, so then you have those folks. But then you look at the folks who already live here. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, you're looking at the working class, middle class, people in the service industry, because this is still a very service-oriented market. Teachers, police officers, other public workers, how are they making it? Where are they finding homes?
They are really struggling, and, you know, in a lot of cases, they're moving way further out than they want. They're not finding the schools they want for their kids, and, you know, it's not just a problem for the locals, but also people who want to move to Miami who have found jobs here from less expensive housing markets, your Tampas, your Orlandos, your Atlantas, you know, areas like that where Miami businesses are trying to recruit people from. Those people are really having questions now about whether they can afford to live here.
And as you've said, and you pointed it out in your stories, is the fact that this now forces people to commute. They have very long commutes to work. What kind of things did you find when it comes to that? I mean, how far are people willing to drive?
You know, if people have family here, they are willing to stay, and that could mean finding a place in West Kendall, even though you're trying to work downtown. That could mean, you know, living in Homestead, trying to get into Brickell, and those are, you know, and that's if you can afford a car. A lot of people are, you know, using Miami's limited public transit system. We do see a lot of interesting work happening around building new units around transit hubs. You're seeing that with Brightline. You're seeing that with Metro Rail. You're seeing that with the bus lines up in Liberty City. So I think that's a useful avenue that could be explored as a solution.
The other thing, too, is we look at comparisons, and you had brought up Key West. Now, I asked you this in an interview that played earlier this morning, and I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into this. So Key West finds itself in a situation, and you can't compare Key West to Miami. They're two very different places. But there is something interesting about the Key West story, is the fact that now the values are so high that you are forcing people to commute, and commuting to Key West is not easy. Do you see a situation in Miami where you priced out a lot of teachers, firefighters, police officers, other public workers, service workers? You've priced them out to the point where now they have to have two-hour commutes or more to get to work. Is that possible?
I think that's a big danger, and I think that's why the business community is getting so concerned, and county and municipal governments are also now trying to step up to the plate and do something before it's too late and before we do get into a Florida Keys type situation. I think one thing that's frustrating for, you know, activists and analysts and people who study this housing market crunch is that Miami just went through, and South Florida just went through, a huge luxury condo building boom. And the county didn't really have the structure in place to take advantage of that boom, except in terms of recouping more property taxes by building, you know, by harnessing the money produced by that boom to build affordable housing units. And now the boom is ending because the foreign buyers are kind of going away. So, you know, it may be a little too late to really fix this problem, or at least it's much harder now than it could have been a couple years ago.
All right. Again, now we are trying to get that phone line set up. I know people are trying to call in and I want to hear from you. Be patient. We are going to have that ready for you in here in just a moment. But again, we did crowdsource a lot of you to try to figure out your story and figure out where you're coming from and some of your frustrations. And again, I'm joined by our engagement editor, Katie Lepre. She's here in studio with me. And we, I mean, the moment we put out that number, Katie, we started getting like a ton of people, but a few more people. What are some other stories that you've seen?
So Ashley from North Palm Beach says, we are currently renting, looking to buy, but with rent so high and wages so low, it's impossible to save for a down payment.
Something, by the way, to add to that, we did the story, I think, a couple of years ago. Miami, on average, if you're making just a little over the median annual salary, which is barely $50,000 a year, it would take you 13 years to save for a 10% down payment, considering cost of living here in Miami. Just something to add to that. Go ahead.
Marissa from Dania says she's a full-time teacher in Broward County. I cannot afford to live by myself either in a home or apartment. I am 28 years old and I live with my mother as a roommate. Bobby from Fort Lauderdale texted in and said, I would like to buy a home, but home ownership in neighborhoods with good schools is out of reach.
And that she's a millennial, right? A 28-year-old, a millennial. We've seen that story as well. Millennials having to live with their parents, at least at the beginning, to get themselves settled in. Again, if you're in the Miami area, we'd like to hear your thoughts on this. We are getting those phone lines up, but if not, you can always find us online. If you can't get through, go to our Facebook page. Facebook group at facebook.com/group/TheFloridaRoundup. And you can tell us a little bit about your story as well, because we want to hear from you and your thoughts on your search and what it's like. Nick, one of the things you mentioned too, people looking for a house, especially first-time homebuyers, looking for that single-family home, they will look at what, 50, 60, 70 homes before they find anything that they might like?
Absolutely. And, you know, a friend actually, after these stories came out, told me her own story, which I think is really indicative of what's happening, which is, you know, she and her husband were looking for a home in this price range. They found a great townhome, well, what they thought was a great townhome in Kendall, around $250,000, not a terrible commute. They went in, squatters had been living in it. There was graffiti on the walls, everything was broken, you know, it was filthy. And they still thought about buying it because, you know, they were so desperate and they don't want to have to move way down into South Dade. While they're thinking about it, my friend says a Russian buyer comes in with a realtor, takes a look around, says she wants it, makes a cash offer. There's a pending sale the next day.
And so right just then, they were out because somebody comes in with cash and just sweeps it up.
Absolutely. And like one of the people who wrote into the show earlier said, the buyer was probably going to fix it up, flip it, and sell it for twice as much.
So then, you know, that two things there. One is the fact that, okay, you find a house that's within your price range, but you're going to end up having to spend a lot of money to try to fix it up. It's a fixer-upper.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that is something that I think a lot of young couples are willing to do. You know, they know they're not going to have their dream home the first time out, you know, as much as people like to talk about spoiled millennials. But millennials are also very careful with their finances these days. And so they don't want to pay $300,000 for a home just to buy it and then have to spend another $30,000, $40,000 fixing it up and making sure it's up to code. You know, that's not a good investment.
Oh, it's not just millennials. Us Gen Xers, baby boomers, we're all in that situation. All right. I don't know what that alarm is, but We'll just keep going. You know, the other thing, too, that that you mentioned, people are coming in and they're flipping it. Are we seeing what we saw before the recession? Are we seeing people coming in, buying and flipping houses and thus boosting, inflating the costs?
In a sense, but you have to remember they're buying with cash. They're not buying with credit. That was the danger in the last boom, was that, you know, it was artificial demand boosted by easy credit. So when the bottom fell out of the market, you know, all those mortgages evaporated and the banks were in big trouble, and so were homeowners. You know, this time these are flippers with cash in hand who are responding to a very clear demand in the market because there's so little new product coming in. So, you know, you could make an argument that the foreign cash has certainly inflated values beyond what locals can pay, and that leads to a bubble type situation, but it's not the same kind of credit boosted bubble that when it bursts, you know, the whole economy comes down with it also.
Okay, what about city leaders, county leaders? You know, what exactly can they do? Because look, I get it. Values go up. So values go up, that means more revenue for the county coffers, for the city coffers. But at the same time, you have to be thinking about the fact that if there isn't enough affordable housing for your middle class, your working class residents, there's going to be a problem down the road. But what exactly can our leaders do to try to, you know, curb this problem now?
So one expert I talked to at a think tank, you know, said, sadly, there is no one magic bullet that can take the housing crisis and solve it. Every prosperous city in the country, every prosperous city in the world is going through this. But there are some sensible, smaller fixes that both public and private leaders can do that would, you know, they're described as 2% fixes, but when you do all of them, they add up into something more sustainable. And so that could be more what's called transit-oriented development, which is building homes near public transit. That could be building mixed income developments where you have a mix of subsidized and market rate housing in the same project. That could include less restrictive zoning. That could include making permitting a cheaper and easier process for developers. So there are a bunch of proposals floating around. The question is just making the public and private sectors sit down and agree to work together on a really complex problem that doesn't just touch housing, it touches infrastructure, it touches public transit, it touches jobs and education. So it really is a you know, all-consuming problem.
I got to tell you, I mean, I know just, I think about a few personal stories. I mean, one, I know that for many, many years, you know, my parents who live in West Palm Beach, my mother was making that trip from West Palm Beach to Bal Harbour for years. You know, just, and now I think about it, they get on my case when I don't go visit them. They're still up in West Palm Beach, and I get all hussy about making that trip. And she did that thing every day, 5 days a week. I know people who've moved down here from other states, and they were amazed at the fact that a friend of mine who just moved here from Raleigh, North Carolina, I mean, what you're getting for your buck down here compared to up there. I real quickly, we're going to finish up on this, Nick. How many people have you talked to who said, I'm done with South Florida? I don't care how beautiful the beach is. I don't care how great the weather is in the wintertime. I'd rather go buy a nice house on a couple acres somewhere else. I got to get out of here.
Quite a few people, readers reacting to the story and people we talked to before the story have said that, you know, they're looking at Tampa, Orlando, Atlanta, North Carolina. If you go look at the comments on the story, you'll see a lot of people saying that. And just quickly before we go, we were talking about solutions. The Herald is actually hosting an event Thursday morning, that's next Thursday, in Brickell to discuss solutions for the workforce housing problem. We'll be bringing together government leaders, developers, analysts, realtors. It's going to be a really interesting event, and you can sign up to register on MiamiHerald.com.
Thank you for bringing that up, and obviously we'll follow up with you on that to remind folks about it, and because, again, we want to keep hearing from everybody. I do want to apologize. The phone lines have just – this is one of those Fridays. I don't think it's Friday the 13th, but it's one of those Fridays. We're doing our best. But you know what? We want to hear your story. And so, again, you can find us online You could tweet us at WLRN. You can find us on Facebook. Again, facebook.com/group/TheFloridaRoundup. We want to know, are you at that point where you're ready to just leave South Florida because housing is just out of reach? And again, thank you so much for your patience. We'll see if we can get those things up before the show is out. Nick Nehamas is a investigative reporter for the Miami Herald. Nick, is always a pleasure. Thanks for not giving me a silver lining to the cloud, but that's all right. I'll take it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Coming up next, the state of the Everglades. Research showing it's not looking very good, but we'll find out if there's anything we could do. That's coming up next on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN.